Well, good morning. Above all else, this day, that is truly what our heart's desire is, that He would have His way. When He has His way, everything works. When He has His way, everything is good for His people. When He has His way, we meet with Him. And when He has His way, His kingdom expands. Praise God. Amen. Well, God is at work again today. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you folks again and to share the word with you. Just by a witness, I've already had confirmation from God today that this is the message for us today. We plan, we pray, we wait on God, and then we decide a plan to take based on the promptings we feel that the Lord gives us. And then the confirmations start coming. Already in our worship this morning, we've been singing along these lines. And our message today is simply this: how to hear God's voice. Our message is taken this morning from the book of Habakkuk. It's not a book that we often turn to, although there is so much in it, so much to learn in it. If you want to take your Bibles and just have it available as we quote Scripture, if you want to use the Pew Bible, it's in page 1307. And we're going to be looking at the first two chapters, the first five verses of chapter 1, and then from verse 12 in chapter 1 through to verse 3 of chapter 2, and then finally the 20th verse of chapter 2. Habakkuk is what is referred to as one of the minor prophets. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not minor because it's not important. It just means that the book is smaller than what the major prophets are. It's only three books long. But it has great value. It had great value in its writing, and it has great value to us today. At the time of its writing, in the history of the Jewish people, Jerusalem had been destroyed, and the children of Israel were in captivity. And this had all happened because of one simple thing. They were in rebellion to God. They were under siege by the Babylonians, and their lives were encompassed with all kinds of evil and treachery because the Babylonians had them in their clutches. And as we read through these chapters 1 and 2, we see Habakkuk is crying out to God and challenging Him, asking Him why these vile and evil people, such as the Babylonians, have been allowed to come and conquer His chosen people. In reading Habakkuk, we see the character of a man that existed then, but we see characteristics that many of us, I think, today can identify in our own lives. The prophet thought he knew the mind of God, and he became frustrated when God didn't act the way he thought God should. Does that sound familiar? Don't we predispose sometimes, well, why are you not doing that, God? No, you shouldn't do it this way. This is the way is your will. Often those thoughts will come into our hearts and minds. By Habakkuk's example, we see also that men and women are prone to look at their own little circle of the world, their own immediate need, their own vision of what life should and could be, whereas God sees the big picture. God sees the today, He knows of the past, and He knows of the future. Habakkuk's understanding of who God is contrasts drastically from what we know of God to be. So as we read through these first chapters, we see the first challenge that Habakkuk brings forward, and he says this: why does the evil in Judah go unpunished? Has that thought ever crossed your mind? What about them? They're so evil. They're doing these wrong things. They're corrupting our society. They're challenging our country. They're killing people worldwide. I'm sure that many of you are aware of the news recently of what's going on over in the Middle East, in Africa. Christians being beheaded, children being shot because they're believed to be Christ followers. And so, I'm sure many are asking this, why is this evil allowed to go unpunished? God's answer is simply this. The Babylonians will punish Judah, but just look at the nations and watch. You will be truly and utterly amazed, for I'm going to do things that you wouldn't even believe possible, even if I told you. Habakkuk's second complaint was this. How can a just God use wicked Babylonia to punish people more righteous than they themselves? I think too often in Christian society we have a tendency to think we're here and the world is somewhere down there. What did Jesus say? He said, I came to seek and to save the church? No. That which was lost. How can we ever reach someone if we are always reaching down? The Holy Spirit needs to work through us. That's how God's business gets done. And when it's done on the level. So how can a just God allow this wicked Babylonia to punish people more righteous than themselves? And here's God's answer. Babylonia will be punished. He knows the future. And faith will be rewarded. There's the key. We don't have to trust in ourselves. We don't have to trust in something called fate. We have to trust in God. Now, I'm sure yourselves, like myself, over time, I've been blessed to know people whose lives have been testimonies of the power of God. They have been people that I felt I could trust and rely on for their guidance. And when they said things like, God told me to do such and such, I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, God was speaking to them. He was speaking through their lives. And they were being obedient to him. I could see that they had depth, that they had maturity and accountability and spiritual synchronicity with the Holy Spirit. I can also recall times when someone has come to me and said, God told me that you should do this. Or God's given me a message for you, Keith, and that's an area you need to avoid. Sometimes I think they were well-meaning, but in a lot of cases, I know they were voices of God speaking through them. Because the history that I look back on now has shown it to be a fact. God was speaking through them. He was protecting me. He was guiding me. In the Bible, there are many verses that are examples of how God spoke to people in an auditory way, or through visions, or through revelation spoken by someone else, prompted by the Holy Spirit. I believe God speaks to us today. Do you believe that? We're all quiet. Did I put you to sleep? Do you believe that God speaks to people today? All right. Here's the question. Are you hearing from God today? Amen. We should be hearing from God today. And there are many principles as we read through these first two chapters of Habakkuk that I want to share with you today. If you're not hearing from God, you can. And it's no magic. There are simple steps to take. But first of all, I think we all would agree that there are a variety of things that we would like to hear from God on. Sometimes it's a major step in life. We might be looking to make the purchase of a new car, or maybe change our residence of buying another home or buying our first home. Others may be wondering about their financial portfolio, preparing for that day when retirement comes, or what are the best schools that their children should be in? Should they be in the Christian school or should they be in the public school? And still others are wondering, what ministry should I put my life into here at the church, or maybe beyond the church walls? Where can I invest myself in this community that God can use for his purpose and his glory? Or maybe it's simply a case of getting the answers to why. Why is this happening to me? Is there something I'm doing wrong? Is there something that I need to adjust or change that I'm just not seeing? I just need to know. I remember a time a few years ago, although it's very vivid to me today, of taking my parents to one of our hospitals in Kingston. My mother had just not been well, and we wanted to find out what was the problem. And so for this particular appointment, this was going to be the appointment to tell us what test results would be, and we would know. We had in our own thoughts several different indications as to what we thought it was, and none of them were good. But today was the day, so I took them down, waited, and eventually they came out of the hospital and got in my car. My father turned to me and he said, "We need to stop at the drugstore because we need to get some prescriptions for your mother." And that was it. I'd been sitting there kind of waiting, wondering what the answer would be, but nothing was given. So I started the car and drove to the drugstore. My father got out of the car, and as soon as he got out of the car, I heard my mother in the back seat starting to cry. She reached for her purse, as she often did, and opened it up and took out a pad and a pen to write. And she wrote this one line on the page and then handed it up to me to read. As my eyes fell onto the paper, I saw these words: "I have ALS, 1 year." My mind began to race and I began to search for words, not, "God, why did you do this to my mother?" but, "God, what can I do now to help my parents deal with this? What are my best steps?" And you know what? God heard that prayer. It wasn't an audible prayer, it was in my mind, but it was in God's direction, and he heard my prayer for over the next few months that we still had my mother with me. He answered that his way in his time until he took her home. Today I want to share with you 5 points, and if you have something to write on, maybe on your bulletin, you might want to jot these down, that will help us to hear God's voice or hear it better. Habakkuk was a man who spoke frequently to God, and God used him, I believe, to speak to his generation, but also to our generation today. So if you want to hear God speaking to you, the first thing you need to do is don't be afraid to ask God the difficult questions. In chapter 1, Habakkuk says this: "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all of this misery?" And God responds, "I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe in, even if someone told you about it." How can we understand the ways of God? We really can't. But that's where faith makes the difference. We don't have to know tomorrow, we have to know who's in charge of tomorrow. Habakkuk isn't really sure, and he's not really satisfied with God's answer. So he comes back to him again and he says, "O Lord my God, my Holy One, you who are eternal, surely you do not plan to wipe us out." Habakkuk wasn't arguing with God, but he was speaking in reverence. For as you notice, he says, "My Holy One, you who are eternal." but he was also trying to understand. How could it be that a God of love would allow this violent army to come against them, invade his people, and put them in bondage? And so he continued to ask in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Are we only fish to be caught and killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Then in verse 17, will you let them get away with would you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquests? Now he's talking to God here. He's saying, God, help me understand this. I've been there. I suspect you've been there too. God, why is this happening? He wants to hear from us. He wants to know what's in our heart. And he can take the hard questions, for he has the answer. And like Habakkuk, we don't want to be afraid. We want to approach God. He wants us to ask. For sometimes things happen and we don't understand. We don't like them. And we maybe not even agree with what's happening. And often we expect God to intervene. And he doesn't. And we stand by perplexed. Where is God? Why is he not stepping in here? This is a believer. Why would he allow this? If that's what's in your heart, you need to do what Habakkuk did and pray this prayer. Lord God, my Holy One, what are you trying to teach me? How should I respond to you that you will serve your purpose and glorify your name? When Nehemiah heard the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed, it broke his heart. Just like Napanee, this is your home. This is my home too. I've adopted it. Had we been away on a journey and come home this morning and not seen one building standing in our community, how would you feel? How would that impact your heart? And this is exactly what they were seeing in Jerusalem, for it had been taken over and destroyed. And he wept bitterly. He went into mourning for a time. But then he fasted and he prayed until he heard from God as to what he should do next. Remember in Matthew 27, verse 46, hours before Jesus was crucified, he had these words to say to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? Look at where I am. He felt alone. I want to tell you today, if you need to hear God's answer to a hard question, you need to ask it. Don't be afraid to express your doubts, your concerns, your fears. Don't be afraid to say, Lord, I don't understand what you're up to. Help me understand. And Lord, I want you to know I'm yours. And I'm ready to do whatever you ask me to do. Secondly, if you want to hear the voice of God, you need to put yourself in the place where it's possible. In chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk said, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Habakkuk's watchtower and guard post are symbolic, for in most cities of the time they had stone watchtowers that were built on the walls, and watchmen were put in these watchtowers so they could see the comings and goings of everyone. They could see the traders that were coming in to do business. They could see families that were returning from their journeys. They could also see enemies that were coming to take the cities over. Habakkuk was really saying to God, I will put myself in the best possible place to hear from God. Where is your best place today to hear from God? Do you have a place where you know you can go and have that quiet, intimate time? Where you can say those hard things to God, where you can bring those burdens, where you can be refreshed by His Spirit, where old life can disappear with His grace and new life be regenerated with the Father. Sometimes we do it by quietly going someplace and reading His Word. Sometimes it's by listening to good teaching. And I know I've lived long enough on this planet Earth, we have a lot more available to us, easier than we have ever had in my lifetime. So that is readily available to us. Sometimes maybe we want to go and just sit in silence before God and listen. Many of you will remember when we had the festival here in Napanee, Steve Wingfield, the evangelist that I worked for at that time, he had a policy for his staff, for the festival directors, that one day a month we would designate that day in amongst our work time, and he would give us that day to spend the day with God. Part of the day was we had to read a book of the Bible. Part of the day was to be spent in silent waiting and prayer before God. And then the rest of the day, what was remaining, we needed to write him a letter and tell him what we heard from God. When he first gave us this directive, it shocked me. I'd never taken a whole day before just for God. Some of us feel like we come here for a couple of hours on Sunday, and that's enough. That'll do it for the week. I thought, what am I going to do for the whole day? I met with God in those times like I have never met with him before. I heard the voice of God. Did I hear him speaking to me the way I'm speaking now? No. But in that quiet, silent time, in the stillness of my spirit, God's Spirit spoke to me. He prompted me. Through his word, as I looked at it and I read it, and I shared in my report, God spoke to me. We need to put ourselves in that place, that quiet spot, that place that's undisturbed by anything else, so God can speak to us. Number three, if we want to hear the voice of God, we need to be willing to wait. That's not while you're waiting for the traffic light to turn green. Okay? We need to purpose that time. Now, we make time in our weekly schedules for everything that we have to do and want to do. It needs to get on the want-to-do list. Eventually be in the have-to-do list. But we need to start to plan that time before God. God is not going to run down the road chasing us. We have to initiate. As it says in the scripture, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There, what? I will wait. This is important. I will wait to hear from God. Sometimes God's answers come right away. Sometimes they take moments. Sometimes God's answers will be over a few hours. Sometimes not for a few days. And yes, as is the case, when we are praying for situations and sometimes for people to come to the Lord, sometimes it's years. God advised Habakkuk, if it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. He says it will not be delayed. A word from God is always, always, always worth waiting for. In Isaiah 64:4, we read, "For since the world began, no ear has heard, nor eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him." Now, my wife can attest, I don't like to wait. I like to leave on a time. I like to be on a time. Much of my life and my secular life is on a clock, on a digital clock now. I can't even kind of muddy the waters with the old clock. It's exact, and so I'm constantly clicking off the time. But if we want to hear from God, it's going to be in his time, and we need to wait. So why does it take so long sometimes for God to answer? Well, I ask you this: how long is long? Now, there's a brain bender. How long is long? Maybe we need to adjust our clocks to his time. Like the song says that we often sing, "In his time," taken out of the book of Ecclesiastes, reminding us that he makes all things beautiful, not when we order it up, not when we think it should be, in his time. When you need to hear God's voice, position yourself where he can speak to you, and then wait. He will answer. The fourth thing that we need to do to hear the voice of God is, when God speaks, put your thoughts into words, and then put your words on paper. Okay? And don't tell me that I'm not a good writer. That's not an excuse. You can read it, God can read it, and that's all that matters. Why do we do this? Well, it's a good thing to put your thoughts on paper, because it gives you an opportunity to make sure that what was in here you understand as well. And then you can look at it. God said something very interesting to Habakkuk in verse 2 of chapter 2. "Write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others." This is a crucial understanding that we need to get today on how to hear the voice of God. We're not talking about hearing an audible voice. We're talking about possibly an impression that the Holy Spirit will give to you, possibly a prompting that this is what you need to do, or a clarity of thought, something that you've been praying over and just feeling like it's an issue that's fogged, and the Holy Spirit clears it for you right then, gives you the direction. When you believe that God might be speaking to you about a certain matter, you need to consider what he's saying. Articulate it in your mind, put it on paper, and finally, be prepared to share it with someone. Be prepared to share it with someone. God is not giving you this for just you. This is a way that you can grow, and this is a way that you can help others grow. It's our testimony. There are important steps in hearing God's voice. To be sure you heard correctly, you need to take these steps. And finally, our fifth one, be ready to put your faith to work. God's answer to Habakkuk's questions and his message was good news, telling him that ultimately God would rescue his people and defeat their enemies. While waiting on God, Habakkuk had to exercise faith, and that pleased God. How many times have we had children come running up to us? "When are we going to do such and such?" "Well, not right now." "Well, why? Well, why? Well, why? Well, why?" We learned it well. Some of us haven't got over it. We run to God. "God, when are you going to change this thing?" And God says, "Be patient." "Well, why? Well, why? Well, why?" Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. How could Habakkuk be so impatient? He placed his faith and his trust in God. He didn't need anything more. He knew that God was a God of his word. He knew that if God was satisfied, he would be satisfied. And when God said that my people will be delivered, he knew. Do you know everyone here that's listening to my voice today, right now, can hear from God? Did you know that? Every one of us can. If we're faithful to follow these steps. How do I know this? Well, I know this from personal experience, but also from what it says in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And everything good and perfect comes to us from God our Father. You may be dealing with an issue of loneliness this morning. You may be wondering when God's going to do something about it, but you've never asked. You've never had the nerve to pose that question. You've never said to God, God, why aren't you filling this emptiness in my life? Or maybe you're worrying about some issue, some silly thing that should go away, but it doesn't. You know, the small things are just as important to God as the big things. Anything to do with you is on his agenda. Anything to do with me is on his agenda. He created each one of us, and absolutely everything about us is important to him. Maybe you have a deep hurt. Maybe it's so terrible you can hardly think about it yourself, and you've subverted it. Oh, I could never talk to God about that. I'm here to tell you today, God may be the only one that you can talk to God about this. And you need to. For it's only him and his grace that can heal you from that hurt. It's only God and his power that can transform that open wound into newness in life. Do you want to hear from God today? Don't be afraid to ask him the hard questions. Purposely and regularly find that quiet place where you and God can hang out, just the two of you, and talk things over. Then shut up and wait to hear from him. Be willing to wait for his answers, for they will come. I've heard people say lots of times, oh, I prayed and prayed and prayed about that. God never answered my prayer. Never had a chance to get a word in edgewise, did he? Because we took our want list there and we said, this is what I need, this is what I need. Like it's a grocery list. And then now I got to go. Amen. Any wonder we didn't hear. Be patient and wait. Put your thoughts clearly into words and put them on paper so you can see what God is trying to do. And then finally, share them with somebody. I don't mean going around and just in everybody's face and, oh, look what's going on with me. What I mean is be a blessing to somebody and say, you know what God's doing in my life? I'll tell you what, Satan doesn't want you to tell anybody because he doesn't want to see any new sprouts of growth. And that's why we absolutely have to. Absolutely have to. Because God can take that little step and he can grow an army from it. As you do this, God will begin to speak truths into your heart. And it will begin to flow. Your faith will deepen to levels you never dreamed possible. And that that corridor between you and God that you know is there right now will begin to close. Until there's no seam. You won't know where you end and God begins. Though battles may be raging around you at this very moment, or maybe on your mind this morning, there are difficult circumstances that you're yet to face. Take your place in the watchtower and look to the horizon and listen for God's voice. Because his answers are surely coming your way. Finally, as we close, I want to leave this with you. Think of Habakkuk and be encouraged. For he says this to us today, I will wait quietly for the coming day, though there are no grapes on the vines and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. I pray that you will develop that relationship with him today, that you can hear from him each and every time you seek him. Let us pray. Father, you are an awesome God. Our ability to describe what you do for us is so taxed. There is no way of understanding. But today we want to be quick to give you thanks and praise. For you reach out to us, you pursue us from our creation, and you desire to be in fellowship with us. And Father, in this torn up world, this gift from you, we your people so desperately need to hear from you. And so today I pray that these words will not go on the ground and not bear fruit, but Father, that you'll be able to take them by your Spirit and make that connection with us. May each one of us, Father, covenant today to find that quiet place to seek you, as your word says, while you still can be found, to wait upon you, to feel that release, to be able to come and share what's on our hearts with you. Praises, yes, but cares and needs also. Again, as your word says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their faith. And Father, teach us. Teach us to wait. Thank you, Father, for this light of your word this morning. Guide and direct us, Lord, as we take it now from this place and use it to grow in you and to reach this community and allow them to hear the voice of you, Father, in each and every one of these lives represented here today. And we'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen.